But at 8:06, it's something we've spoken about quite a few times here on BBC Essex. This is the Lower Thames Crossing. Proposals for the new road first announced 10 years ago, but it's still not been built. And today, Highways England has launched another 8-week public consultation. It's called the Community Impact Consultation. So they want to hear from you. They want your views on things like changes to traffic, air quality, noise, environmental impact, all that sort of stuff. Even if it's given the green light, construction on the Lower Thames Crossing still isn't expected to start until 2024, with the road due to open somewhere between 2029 and 2030. So it's a long way off, even if it all goes ahead as planned. Now, this comes on the day the government publishes plans to make all transport carbon free within 30 years. So I want to hear your thoughts on this morning. Do you want a new Lower Thames Crossing? Are you fed up of all the talking? You just want them to get on with it? Are you worried about the impact such a big project will ultimately have on our county, on where you live and work? 0800 111 40 41. Laura Blake is chair of the Thames Crossing Action Group. They're opposing the project, and Laura joins me now. Good morning to you.
Morning, Sonia. Thanks for having me on your show again.
Morning. You are welcome. So these latest plans with regards to this consultation, they didn't drop until a minute past midnight last night, and I understand you stayed up waiting to see them. So did you stay up, and what's your reaction?
Yeah, I had about an hour and a half sleep around 10 o'clock, woke myself up, and I've had about an hour's sleep since then as well. So I have been up most of the night looking through their consultation materials on their website, and very frustrated, very confused. A lot of misleading information in there, in my opinion, and also I believe there's a lot of greenwashing in there. I think that rather than actually provide information, what is on there just generates more questions for people to have to ask, because it's certainly not a straightforward consultation material that they're using there.
What's your biggest gripe then, Laura? What's the thing that stands out that you're worried about?
In the crossing in general, the very fact that it won't solve those problems at the Dartford Crossing, we've discussed it previously and nothing has changed in this consultation to make it any different. The Dartford Crossing would still be over capacity regardless of whether the Lower Thames Crossing went ahead or not. That's a big concern when you're talking about £8.2 billion of taxpayers' money and over 5 million tonnes of carbon emissions. As you said, the government are releasing the Transport Decarbonisation Plan today. And that's all about carbon net zero. So to be having a scheme like this that doesn't solve the problems is extremely expensive to taxpayers and also emits over 5 million tonnes of carbon emissions doesn't sound good to me.
And the consultation, because there's been lots of processes, lots of hoops to jump through before any of this sees the light of day, if indeed it will end up seeing the light of day. So there is quite a complex process. They're doing the right thing by getting all the feedback from people in the area as well, aren't they, and groups involved?
Well, definitely. We actually have been saying for some time that the consultations haven't been adequate. So when another one was announced in light of those responses that ourselves and local authorities made when they submitted their development consent order and then had to withdraw it because it was due to be refused, we were thinking, OK, well, let's see what they give us next. Well, in the time that I've seen overnight, it's getting worse, not better.
Why?
There are so many terminologies in their consultation materials that are on there that, in my opinion, look like they've probably been taken out of more technical documents that they're preparing to resubmit the development consent order. It's not in straightforward, easy to understand, plain English that people in the communities need. We don't need their technical and industry jargon. We actually need it in plain English so that we can understand it. Maps
yes.
that they've got on there, there's an interactive map. When you actually have a look, you can see where the development boundary is. But if you zoom in close enough to see how it comes near your property or a particular area that you're interested in, that red line vanishes.
Right, so a few issues. We'll try and put that to the people behind the project. It's quite technical to work its way through than you would suggest. Can you ever see it being built?
There's a lot going on. Not only have we obviously got the consultation, which we're going to keep fighting, and they haven't got permission yet, but also Transport Action Network's legal challenge on climate grounds was heard in the High Court on the 29th and 30th of June, and we're waiting for the outcome of that. Obviously, we've mentioned a couple of times now the Transport Decarbonisation Plan. there are a lot of things to take into account, and all this destruction that it would cause would be bad enough if it even solved the problems. But as I keep saying, it doesn't. The Dartford Crossing would still be over capacity. London Resort across the other side of the water, with parking in Thurrock in the Tilbury area. Highways England have admitted they're not taking the traffic that's expected if that theme park goes ahead into account in their traffic modelling. There aren't adequate connections. They're not considering how traffic would migrate between the two crossings when there's incidents, regardless of whether you've got a theme park with a lot of extra traffic slap bang between those two crossings. There are a lot of things that I think need to be taken into account, as well as the cost, obviously, at a time when the government have got a huge cost of COVID. They may start reviewing things. Who knows? We're just going to have to see how it goes. And in the meantime, we will carry on trying to have our say.
So I know you don't want it to be built. Do you think it will go ahead, though?
Well, let me put it this way. Highways England were convinced that they'd done adequate consultation and they were confident in their DCO application, the Development Consent Order application, when they submitted it in October. And look how that worked out for them. I think it's definitely worth keep fighting.
Good to have you on the show, Laura. That is Laura Blake, chair of the Thames Crossing Action Group, opposing the project. Want to hear from you. Do you welcome it? Perhaps you're stuck in traffic in that area on a regular basis, 0800 111 40 41, and you think this is a way to deal with that, to manage it, and it will ultimately boost the economy by having some of that infrastructure? Or are you hugely concerned about the cost of that project, whether it will indeed make any difference to the traffic levels as a whole, and of course the environmental impact as well? What do you think about this Lower Thames Crossing, and can you ever see it being built? 0800 111 40 41. Leslie Quigley owns Stables and Land in Orsett, so right in that area, joins me now. Morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you feeling about it all at the moment, with another consultation starting?
I feel physically sick. I mean, obviously, I didn't stay up and look at these things. I got up early and looked at all this, and it is so totally confusing. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I mean, the amount of roads, and I'm trying to find a way that you could get to Baker Street from where I live, and I don't think there is one. It's just chaos. It is chaos. I can't believe it. You know, and will I be alive when the road is finished? Because I'll be 80, you know, but that's, I've still got horses and maybe they'll outlive me, you know. And I've noticed on there they're saying, oh, we're going to do footpaths and bridleways, and there's no mention of bridleways on these soppy drawings. But if there aren't any horses, which there won't be in Orsett, who's going to use them?
You obviously, we mentioned at the start of this, Leslie, we've been talking about this for many, many years. You're at the heart of it. So you it's been a part of your life for many, many years. So how has that affected how you feel about where you live?
Well, it's not where I live. I live in Chabot, which we're going to be surrounded anyway by roads and goodness knows what. You know, it is. I bought this land for horses. And I had never had any intention of ever selling it. It would be there for forever for horses, you know, because also it is a very equine area. It always has been for hundreds of years. And it's just snowballing through there. And, you know, there's a little bit of land left for me if I can reinstate something there. But it's just, and as for pollution, I mean, I know that I couldn't find anything really about pollution in what they're saying in this paperwork, but I can tell you that the roofs of the houses next to the existing A13 have got black sludge on them. I cannot sort of take water off my roof, which would be environmentally friendly, wouldn't it? A tub is half full of black tar, so you can't use it. The pollution is awful at the moment, and they're adding another lane, you know, which encroaches more.
They are trying to offset a bit of that, though, aren't they? Creating 150,000 new trees, this sort of woodland and homes to thousands of native species as well. So they're trying to manage the need for infrastructure with the need to protect the environment at the same time, aren't they?
No, I do understand what you're saying, because when I first bought my land, it was the A13 had gone through, and I was managed to buy this land because it wasn't viable for a farmer to use. They planted trees 35, 36 years ago. They're all beautiful, mature oak trees, beech trees. Don't ask me about the others because I'm not that way inclined. And we've found sort of rare plants along that embankment. You know, that's all going to go. The trees are what keeps most of the pollution and noise from the village, you know, and that's going to be gone. Are they saying they're going to put a fence up? Oh, lovely. Do you know what I mean? It's just heartbroken, actually, because I've lived in this area and had horses in this area for 70 years. I am 60 years. I've had horses. I've been involved in everything horse-wise. Chairman of the riding club, was on the last bridleways nonsense going through the Mardi. I've fought all my life for this, and they're just carving through. And the road system, from what I can see, Birmingham, that sort of spaghetti junction thing's got nothing on this.
Can you see it going ahead? I asked that to Laura, because, as I say, it's been in the planning stages for a long, long time, and it's many more years before it may become a reality. Do you think it will?
I'm 50-50, quite frankly, because, you know, we voted for Boris Johnson, there was no mention of Green New Deals and everything. Now we're being told we've all got to be driving electric cars. Well, as I see it, nobody will be able, or hardly anybody, be able to afford them. So you won't need the damn roads, will you?
Leslie, good to talk to you. Thanks for coming on the show. That is Leslie Quigley, who owns Stables and Land in Orsett. If you are in that part of the county, or you use those roads, you use the Dartford Crossing frequently through work or to visit loved ones on a regular basis, what is it like? And will a Lower Thames Crossing, do you think, significantly improve things, or will it make it worse for the area? 0800 111 40 41. We've got this new consultation underway at the moment. Is it ever going to get built, do you think?